The text this morning is the gospel lesson, the calling of Matthew. I'd like to start with a couple visions. The first is the vision of the poet that you sang in verse 3 of that opening hymn. The poet sees the throne room of God, and he sees people streaming into that throne room of God and leading the parade. There are the apostles, Peter and James and John and Thaddeus and Bartholomew and Simon, and among them is this one called Matthew. Another vision, one I read about this week, maybe you did too, John's vision in the book of Revelation. He saw the holy city coming down out of the sky, down to the earth, that it was a perfect city. On each side, there were 3 gates, 12 gates in all. And it was built on 12 foundation stones. And on the name of each of those stones, there was carved. Or on the face of each of those stones, there was carved the name of one of the apostles. And so you could walk around the city and see those 12 stones, and on one of them you would find carved the name of Matthew. He was also called Levi. So maybe it will say Matthew, also known as Levi. The apostles, they were disciples. Jesus had many disciples. At one time, we were told that he sent out 70 of them to go and carry out his message. From those many disciples, Jesus chose 12 to be apostles. Now, the job of an apostle was to be with Jesus during his ministry, go with him up to Jerusalem, see him arrested and convicted and crucified, to be bereft, grieving, and feeling utterly forsaken when he died. And then, on Sunday, to see the tomb empty, and later to see Jesus himself, to be with him for 40 days, and then after he ascended, it was their job to take this message out to all the corners of the world. They were to tell people that the promised Messiah had come, that God had acted in the world, that he was doing a whole new thing now, starting the next phase of his plan to save his creation. And one of those spots was filled by this man, Matthew. When Jesus chose his apostles, it seems that he didn't choose any real extraordinary people. We don't know all that much about their life apart from Jesus. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they had a little fishing business. They're the ones we know the most about. Maybe the one we know the next most about is Matthew. None of them was from the upper stratum of society. They were all ordinary, but in the case of Matthew, low down. Unlikely man to be an apostle. He was a tax collector, a publican, is what the King James Version calls him. It comes from the word for tax revenue. publicanum in Latin. He was a publican. The Romans had lots of publicans. Their tax system sort of worked like this. They would farm it out to different areas. And in Jesus' area, it probably was farmed out to Herod. And Herod would call together his deputies and their henchmen, and he would tell them how much money they had to raise that year. We got to get this amount. And then they would go out accompanied by Roman soldiers, and they would squeeze the people. And it got really bad sometimes because, you see, as a tax collector, you could keep all the money that you raised over your quota. And so the tax collectors were really hated. For the one thing, of course, they were taking people's money arbitrarily, under duress. They were taking the people's money and they were giving it to the Roman oppressors, the ones that had occupied the land. They were giving the money from God's people to pagan idol worshipers. And the publicans were hated for it. You want to talk about the lowest stratum of society? Well, it was kind of proverbial. The bad people. Well, you got the prostitutes, of course. And then you've got the tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus chooses one of those tax collectors to be an apostle. One of the 12 has his name carved on the foundation stones of the city of God. That's just like Jesus. He sort of overturned people's expectations. He played fast and loose with the ceremonial laws, the Sabbath laws. His theology was not quite in line with what great theologians, the Pharisees, described, not quite in line with what they were teaching. They had trouble with some of the things he said. Jesus didn't do the expected. If you were going to build up a team of 12 people to go out and tell the news, well, any team, you got to choose good people, right? You can't take just anybody. You've got to have some standards. And yet Jesus doesn't seem to have any standards. He takes a publican, a tax collector, a traitor to God, a traitor to his people. You see, Jesus' standards are very low. To be one of his followers, well, who does he say he's coming for? He's coming for, did you notice in the scripture lesson? I came to call sinners. That's what he's looking for. Sinners. Sinners who will confess that they're sinners and that they need help. And so God has chosen us. He didn't come to our front door, knock on the door of our business. He didn't reach out and say, you, I want you. But with the splash of that baptismal water, he said, I want you. And along the way, he has said it to us again and again, as we heard about him, as we heard the good news about Jesus. Again and again, the invitation has been there, come on. I want you with me. And today, when we hear about how he called Matthew, how he called sinners, God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is calling you and calling me again. He's reassuring us. He says, I want you to be part of my team, along with Peter and Matthew, and along with your grandparents and parents and your children. I want you. And Matthew, what does he do when he hears this call? He believes it, first of all. He believes that Jesus really does want him. And he responds. He gathers up the coins there in his little tax collector booth, puts out the closed sign, if he had one, and he goes off down the street with Jesus to be his disciple and eventually to be chosen as one of the apostles. Being a disciple of Jesus means being a learner, but you know, when we talk about being a student or being a learner, we usually think of something like a classroom, maybe a confirmation class, where you sit there and you listen to the teacher and you absorb all this information, and maybe you have some tests. If you're a student, you have to have a test, right? And so you do that, and then you just sort of go back home. Being a student is, in our society, a part-time job. But for a disciple of Jesus, it was a full-time job. The idea was that you would live with the teacher and his disciples. And together with the disciples, you would gather up food for the group. You would stay at the same place overnight. You would take care of the teacher's needs, make sure that he had enough to eat and a place to sleep and whatever else he needed. You would help him as he went out to help people in Jesus' case. You would join with him as he confronted the opponents. You would go on the missions that he sent you on. And the idea was that over time, this 24-hour, 7-day-a-week sort of job, you would begin to see things the way the teacher saw them. You would begin to have his attitude. And become like him. Now, it doesn't mean that they were all the same. They were all very different. But they had Jesus' outlook, Jesus' goals, and Jesus' attitudes more and more. Now, Matthew had a very particular job that he had to do. It was one that only he could do, and that was to write the first gospel. Four gospels, correct? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they all tell the same story. They're all talking about the same people, but each of them tells it in his own way. And that's what Matthew was supposed to do. To tell it in his own way. God has something for you to be like him, to have his attitude in your particular place as a mother or a father, a child, a student in the classroom, on the playground, wherever, a businessman, a shopper in the grocery store. And what's this attitude that Jesus talks about here in the gospel today? He says, you Pharisees, talking to his opponents, but one that his disciples overheard. The attitude is mercy. He says, go learn, you disciples, you learners of Jesus, go learn mercy. To be merciful as God is merciful to us. One last point. Matthew was a rich man. Maybe the richest man in town, probably the richest man in town, maybe the richest man in Galilee. When he became a follower of Jesus, what's the first thing that he does? He throws a party. And he invites the disciples, I don't know how many people, and Jesus, and they have a celebration. He could afford it. You can afford it. We are rich people. Maybe not compared to some of the multi-billionaires that now exist, but we are rich compared to most of the people of the world. I read a story in the newspaper this week. Maybe you saw it. It was accompanied by a picture of a man holding a cell phone. He was so happy because he was able to go to the bank and get a loan and buy the first cell phone in his family. Now, we've got plenty of cell phones, and if we get tired of one, we can buy another. We've got more shoes than we need, more clothes than we can wear, bigger houses than we can fill. We are well off. And we can afford to be generous. Generous in sharing our wealth to do God's work here on earth. And where is it all going to end? Well, you know, we aren't going to be able to keep any of all this stuff we have. But we're heading to something far better. We are headed to the celebration of heaven. Whenever the Bible talks about it, it calls it a feast. Best food, best wine, a feast that's always beginning, never ending, a great celebration with Jesus and the apostles and his disciples of every age. In the name of Jesus, amen.